We have two readings today, and they're not the lectionary readings for this week. The first one is from the Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." And our second reading is from the book of James, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, 'God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble.' Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, before I talk about today's two readings from the Gospel of St. Mark and from James, I do have a confession, and that is my finger slipped on the lectionary. So I ended up preparing the readings and preparing the talk and only then realised that my finger had slipped and I was reading from September's readings in the lectionary. But, you know, something like that has happened before, and it turned out that I think God just had a different message for me to give on that particular occasion. So I've decided to stick with it and simply admit my error. Now, if ever anyone is tempted to think that the Bible and Jesus's life isn't relevant today, today's two readings very much teach us otherwise. We have the disciples competing against each other and squabbling. We have secrecy from them, a lack of openness. The disciples refused to tell Jesus what they were arguing about. Of course, Jesus is Jesus, so he knows exactly what they were arguing about. It's a little bit like children in school with Jesus being the teacher. And of course, he was the teacher. He'd taken them to one side to teach them. Their behaviour, the behaviour of the disciples, is the kind that we'd expect on the primary school playground, isn't it? But sadly, these are the kind of things that I'm sure we all encounter in our everyday lives with adults. And I'm sure when Jesus uses the image of a child to address their need to change their attitude, the irony was very much intended. The book of James is a record of life in the early church. And it came quite some time after Jesus' death and resurrection. And yet the relationship problems continue. And they're not dissimilar, are they? James points out that the root cause of the conflicts are coveting, desiring those things that you don't have. Now, thou shalt not covet is one of the Ten Commandments. On face value, it perhaps doesn't feel as serious as some of the other commandments. We can probably all remember a time when we've looked at someone else's stuff and thought, oh, I'd really like that. A house, a car, maybe even health, fitness, the dream body, perhaps even a stronger faith. But as James makes clear, to covet has very serious consequences. It leads to division within the church, and ultimately, it's about not trusting God and turning our focus to the world rather than heaven. As it says in verse 2 of James 4, you do not have because you do not ask God. And in verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? That's not to say that God is going to give us a mansion or an expensive car, because he gives us what he knows we need and what is good for us, which is often very different to what we think we need. What we think we need is usually driven by the material world that we live in. Jesus and James, in both Bible passages, provide the same solution to the problem, and that is quite simply humility. One dictionary definition for humility is the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others. And if you dig around across dictionary definitions, you'll find that most are very similar to that. Some refer to not being proud. James brings us back to Old Testament scripture to stress the need to avoid this pride, to avoid a lack of humility. Verse 6 is actually a quote from Proverbs 3, verse 34. So pride and selfish ambition, resulting in coveting, a lack of reliance on God and conflict with others, has been a problem throughout all generations, way back in the Old Testament, among Jesus' disciples during Jesus' lifetime, in the early church being addressed by James, and of course, for us now, today. As always with Jesus' teaching and the Bible, thankfully, we're never just presented with a problem, but with the solution. In the Mark reading, we see a number of important steps that we need to take to maintain a healthy Christian lifestyle and attitude. We need to put time aside without interruptions to spend time with others as we are taught and study God's word. In verse 30, we see how Jesus didn't want anyone to know of his and his disciples' whereabouts so that he could spend that precious time teaching them, a protected time, away from the chaos of the world, away from the influences of materialism. We need to be ready to serve others. Jesus came as a servant king, washing the disciples' feet, one of the lowliest tasks possible. We need to value and embrace everyone. That's one of the things Jesus was demonstrating when he took the child. Now, in that culture, a child would have had no say or influence, but Jesus teaches that the disciples need to welcome all children and accept all children. And that child was really a symbol of the lowliest of people, of those who had no real value in society. Don't reject anyone, but accept everyone with equality. The fact is that, as we know from Genesis 1 verse 26, we are all created in God's image, and that does make us all equal, regardless of age, or for that matter, anything else. When, like the disciples, we start to place ourselves above others, or strive to be better than others, or even strive to make ourselves more equal with others by possessing what they have, we are failing to recognize this hugely important design feature. We are all equal to God, all equally loved and important to God, though we are different. When we truly believe and understand that, we shouldn't have any problem at all with pride. Humility should come easily as we seek to love and serve one another as God intended and as Jesus commanded.